This evening, we're going to consider the ongoing story of the life of Joseph and how it shows us the ways in which the Lord prepares us and calls us and directs us in our service for Him in all our different circumstances. Last time, we came to see that Joseph was a man of faith. Through his faith in what God had promised, when he was sold into slavery by his brothers, God prospered Joseph in the house of Potiphar. He stood firm by faith in God's word and did not submit to the repeated sexual enticements of Potiphar's wife. And after being falsely accused by her of sexual assault, Potiphar then sent Joseph to prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. Even in prison, his faith did not waver. The prison was a place of suffering. It was most likely a dark and dank place, potentially with no ventilation or light. And in Psalm 105, we read that his feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron. The sufferings of Joseph brought him to the lowest place, as it were. He was hated, betrayed, unjustly accused, and although he was brought very low, he did not become bitter, but endured in the humiliation of his sufferings. He was strong in faith. Again, all through his faith in what God had promised, God prospered him in the prison. And we are told at the end of chapter 39 of Genesis that says, even in prison, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him the favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made him prosper. So Joseph's now put in a situation where he's in the prison, but he's given authority over some of the prisoners, the men who are there. And that was key in God's plan. He had lost his freedom, but he had not lost his faith. This evening, we will consider how the Lord delivered Joseph from prison, then exalted him above all others, and raised him to become the deliverer of nations. So firstly, two things. Firstly, he was brought down into darkness. Secondly, he was raised and exalted to deliver. So brought down into darkness. We're not told how long Joseph spent in Potiphar's house before he went into the prison, but he was sold into slavery at age 17. Now he's 30 years old, so it would have been several years. And the situation now must have been seen to be hopeless and for Joseph. And although he was faithful in the prison and a trusted inmate, he had little hope that he would ever be free. Here was another difficult trial. Joseph might have thought that every time he would try to do what was right, he was just thrown down. And imagine having to suffer unjustly and almost be entirely forgotten. Have you ever been mistreated? Have you ever felt forgotten? Have you ever felt that you had to start over and over again and your circumstances have changed in ways that you never thought that you would go through these things or you would go to certain places? And it's times like this we might be in the dark and we might say, where is God? Why do I feel so alone? Sometimes we can feel lonely, even in the church. The temptation is we can become bitter and hard towards God and others. And when we are brought low, we should remember what the Lord says of himself. Isaiah declares in chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." God's ways or past finding out. And when we are brought low and we feel like we're in a dark place, we must have faith to believe that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. We need to go to the Word of God when we're feeling desperate and dark. And although we may feel still hopeless and discouraged, we can be confident and have peace that God is with us in every circumstance we find ourselves in, whatever that is, including pain, suffering, and disappointments, and it's all in God's plan for our spiritual good. Well, Joseph is in a dark place, but then there's a glimmer of truth, or a glimmer of hope. While he was in the prison, Pharaoh's butler and baker offended Pharaoh. They were then thrown into the place where Joseph was, and he became responsible for them. So then Pharaoh's servants both had dreams, and the Lord granted understanding of them to Joseph. And the butler dreamed of a vine with three branches that budded, bringing forth grapes, which he squeezed into Pharaoh's cup. Joseph explained to him that he would be brought back to his place of service to Pharaoh. The baker dreamed of three baskets of baked goods on his head, with birds eating the food out of them. And Joseph told him that this meant that his head would be lifted off, hanged on a tree, and then the birds would eat his flesh. Then Joseph tells the butler that when his time comes, that he's going to be released from prison, that he was to mention me. He says, mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this place. And then he tells him that he had done nothing that they should put me into the prison. 3 days later, on Pharaoh's birthday, we read that he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. That glimmer of hope all of a sudden was extinguishing again. It was going dark again. And then a further 2 years passed by. So now he must continue to be patient, in the dark. But everything was about to change. The light would shine again. In chapter 41, we read at the end of 2 years, Pharaoh had two dreams and one night that troubled him. And in the morning, Pharaoh called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men and told them of his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. When the chief butler now heard this, he remembered Joseph in prison and tells Pharaoh that Joseph can interpret his dreams. Pharaoh then calls Joseph, and we read he's quickly brought out of the dungeon. He's delivered from the darkness of a prison and presented before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says to him, I've had a dream. There's no one who can interpret it, but I've heard it said that you can understand a dream and interpret it. And Joseph answers Pharaoh and says, it's not of me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. He interprets the dreams. He tells Pharaoh that there's to be 7 good years of plenty followed by the 7 bad years of famine, all in the land of Egypt. And this brings him into favor with Pharaoh. Well, he was brought low and he was in a dark place. But now he's raised and exalted to deliver. And in Genesis 41, verses 37 to 39, so the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. Now God confirms to all that what Joseph said about the dreams was true. Pharaoh could very well have heard the interpretation and then sent him back to prison. But he doesn't do that, does he? He gives up. Joseph was raised up and given the honor of being the second in the kingdom. He will be next under Pharaoh. And he does this most extraordinary thing. He doesn't send him back to prison, but the most powerful man in the known world at that time does this thing. Pharaoh says to Joseph that he will be next under Pharaoh and that he will rule over everything in his house. Who saw him bow down as he passed by in his chariot but behind Pharaoh's when they went into the streets. One writer says, it is truly astonishing that a foreign slave, just out of prison, where he had been put for an alleged crime, should suddenly have been entrusted with the highest and most responsible position in the kingdom, subordinate only to Pharaoh himself. Joseph's humbling was in the purpose of God, but so was his exaltation. And here he is, placed next to Pharaoh in a position of authority so that God will be able to use him in his purpose of bringing deliverance from the famine, from the people of Egypt and his people, to preserve them in those days that are to come. The wisdom of God, the wisdom and word of God is powerful. A former slave and a prisoner is elevated to a place of honor and influence, and yet Joseph did nothing but speak. God was at work. He brought his purposes to pass without fail. Has God raised us up? Has God raised you up? Psalm 145, verse 14 says, the Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. There's an exaltation for God's people in our circumstances and our situation as we follow the Lord. The Lord will exalt us. And these amazing words in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're not there yet, but in God's eyes and in God's plans, we're seated already in heavenly places, sitting together in Christ Jesus. That's what we have. Now Joseph here, he's made ready. God raises him up out of a low estate to a high estate, and he's now exalted to be the deliverer of his people. And we read that he was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh and king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh, and he went throughout all the land of Egypt. And Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. So Joseph's concern was not for himself, but to preserve the life of the Egyptians. Diligent preparation is made. Barns are built, storage techniques developed, all of the things are sorted out. 7 years of gathering and building storehouses, so much that the officials couldn't keep count. And then the 7 years of plenty that were in the land of Egypt ended. And the 7 years of famine began to come. And Joseph said, the famine was in all the lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all of the Egyptians, go to Joseph and do whatever he says to you. Joseph is the deliverer. Joseph was the one man to go to deliver them. Pharaoh said, go to Joseph. Do you see the connections here between Joseph and Jesus? One writer says, the story of Joseph, as narrated in the book of Genesis, presents a remarkable foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. The typological connections between Joseph and Jesus are manifold and significant, highlighting God's meticulous providence in ordering events and individuals in redemptive history. Joseph was a type, and he pointed to Christ. And the scriptures, God brings us to the situation of one man and all of his difficulties and his humiliation and his exaltation. Joseph was raised up, so was Christ. Paul tells us that God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Pharaoh said to Jesus, "Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you." Christ was equal to his Father, but subject to him in his human nature. As John tells us in chapter 14, that Christ told his disciples not to be troubled, but to rejoice, because he said, "I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I." Joseph was not greater than Pharaoh. Christ was not greater than his Father in his humanity. Joseph suffered and was then prepared to fulfill God's great plan to deliver his people from starvation. In 1 Peter 3:18, we read, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." He delivered, Joseph delivered his people. Christ delivers us to bring us to God. Joseph was used to provide for natural life. Christ provides spiritual life by through the sacrifice of himself on the cross. Joseph was the one man used to be a ruler and a deliverer, but there is really only one true ruler and deliverer, Jesus Christ. Acts 14:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by men to which we must be saved. And then, of course, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12, that God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is the only mediator, we're told, between God and man, the only one. Similar to Joseph. Joseph made the way of life known as the famine became more severe. Christ made the way of spiritual life known. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." God is never at a loss for means whereby to effect his gracious purposes. He can accomplish what no human foresight could have ever imagined was possible. Commenting on this passage, Charles Simeon wrote, "To him doth our Almighty King direct, saying to every famished soul, go to Jesus." Go to Joseph. Go to Jesus. In him there is fullness treasured up. To him all the nations of the earth may go for the bread of life, nor shall any of them be sent empty away. None will be sent away. None will be famished. None will be starving when they come to Christ. We'll be given bread to eat, and we will live. And we can add to Pharaoh's words, whatever he says to you, do. So, if your days seem dark, and you feel as if the Lord doesn't answer your prayers, or if you're discouraged in your circumstances, perhaps it's concerns with your family, or maybe your work, difficulty perhaps finding work, and you begin to wonder, where has the Lord brought me? Why did I go here at that time in my life? Why did this happen to me? And then you think, what is the purpose? And what is the Lord doing with you? Well, hold on. Hold on. We are all part of an unfolding story. And we may not see days of revival, great church growth, but never doubt for one moment God's ongoing work of redemption from beginning to end. The Lord has provided a deliverer, Jesus Christ. He is lifted up before all men. He will draw his own to himself. He is our suffering servant king. 1 Peter 5:6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." He will take us up. He will exalt us. He lifts us up to serve him. May we serve him faithfully all our days. Glory be to his name forever.